This is the intersection of assistive, educational, and information technology. Whether it's technology for inclusive classroom learning or tools for community success, technology can promote independence, and inclusive technology has become more available for everyone. Welcome to the Inclusive Technology for All podcast with your host, Mike Murata.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to episode 72 of Inclusive Technology for All. In keeping with our last handful of episodes, I'm going to be releasing the audio from today's Assistive Technology Town Hall. Today is April 13th, 2020. We talked about a whole range of ideas about how to provide accessible instruction and materials to students with disabilities. If you have a question you'd like to ask the panel members on an upcoming town hall chat, email me at mike@mmatp.com. And I will make sure to pass that information along to the panel and get you some ideas. Otherwise, enjoy. Hope you're doing well. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Let's Talk Remote Learning in AT. Glad you're all here. Look, I'm feeling guilty today because I did
make good burgers outside on the grill. But to make great burgers, put inside or out,
virtual paper, my virtual background on, I chose not to today. I did some remodeling of my office on the weekend, and I was too lazy to put it all back up. So you guys actually, sorry, you're going to see the back of my office today. But I'm glad to be here with everybody. Looks like we got a bunch of people on. I'm excited to have a...
Yeah, we have like new friends and old friends. I like that.
I know, right? I'm looking at the videos as they pop up, and I'm seeing a handful. That's great. Okay. Good to see everybody. Good to see you for sure.
Good to be here.
Yeah, if you haven't been here before, it's pretty much about as close to an open hour as you can get. We just have a conversation. I think I pulled up one thing to start a topic on for today, and then the rest, I'm game for whatever anybody else wants to talk about through the rest of the hour. There's some of our people that are our regulars, and thank you. I know Jen won't be here today. I just got a text from her before, but I think everybody else on that slide is here. Chris might not be here.
I don't think this is
Luis
is here.
Yeah,
Luis I am. And I want to give a big shout out to Karen. I watched your recorded webinars that you did on reading accommodations. So I highly recommend everyone check those out. They were excellent.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thanks, Luis. I really enjoyed the one you did, I think, two Mondays ago through AIM. That was an excellent one as well. You are so knowledgeable and so helpful.
Karen, was that recorded? Because on Friday, I wasn't able to get in. It kept saying it was waiting for the host to connect or start the meeting, and it wouldn't let me in.
Yeah, Mike, you recorded those.
I did, and as the host, I get thrown by that. Patty, I wonder what happened. If you go to visit our YouTube channel, which are up, I pulled it up so you guys could see it. Our YouTube channel is ATACNJ. The videos, all the videos are posted there, all the recordings.
Yay. Okay, thank you.
And if someone requested if you could put that link in the chat box.
You would think, right? Wait a second, I can do that.
And Luis's as well.
I'll go ahead and post that as well.
Yeah, great.
There you go.
This is one of the things that I'm loving. I mean, I have to admit, Mike, you taught me something so basic last week, I'm embarrassed I didn't even know it. But I love... you know, speeding up webinars, but learning new things. There's always something new to learn.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I'm liking this time of being able to sit back and explore some things and have some time to do that. And even just these conversations, like Karen, you and I having that 10-minute conversation before we started the other day was great. Just talking about things. And I'm excited because Luis and I are on the same call right now, and we're going to talk right after we're done. Right, Luis? He ran away.
I'm here. I just had to mute myself or unmute. Yeah, double dose of Mike.
Yeah, it's well.
Mike squared.
That's too bad.
In one dose, let alone two. So I apologize for that. But at least we'll be very productive.
I think to keep myself sane, I've had to make a list of those silver linings. And that's definitely one of those silver linings is like, I have a pipe dream that like these kind of AT lunch hour sessions could continue even when whatever normal is normal comes back. Because I think you all know, like doing the jobs we do, sometimes we're in a very isolated, nobody else really gets what we do kind of thing. But being able to like have another name and another face, and even if it's just, we don't have an answer, but like, I'm totally in that with you. Like there's a strong positive in that connection just happening, which I think in these times is probably sometimes the best solution we can get is, I don't know, but I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I agree. I had this thought the other day, like maybe these should go down to a every other week experience. And then I'm like, you know what? No, I got them in my calendar. Let's just keep doing them this way. And whoever comes, comes, and we use it and kind of do whatever we do in this hour. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's a good opportunity to just connect.
I see Chris just joined.
I know, I saw Chris.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Chris.
And if we run out of steam after 45 minutes, Mike, there's nothing that says we have to do it 60 minutes every week.
Karen, so, I'm a stickler for things. If we say an hour, we're going to stay. We're just going to stare at each other for 15 minutes.
Oh, no, you're singing. You're dancing. You're doing
something. Yeah. I got a lot of empty space. I clean my office. I got a lot.
Nose goes.
Yeah, that's right. Anybody else have something quick that they want to share as a success or something positive? I think Alyssa shared something nice that was positive. Anybody else?
I would love to share, if you don't mind if I jump
Please,
in.
Go ahead.
We had our first tech expo that was virtual. It's always been face-to-face for all the years we've had it. And we had about 1,000 people registered for it, and it worked really well. So that was a huge celebration for us. Just on a personal kind of quirky note, you all know Shelley Moore. And I've been dying to get her selfie and meet her. She's been on my bucket list. And so I tweeted her out, the power of Twitter. And she photoshopped me in one of her pictures and tweeted it out. And my whole week was made. So I finally have, I'm going to print it out, put it in my office. Like we were BFFs. So I was super excited.
That's great. I feel a new Twitter picture coming. Maybe you should make that your bio picture for a little while. Like,
oh, it was going to be my Zoom background, but you know.
So Kelly, do you usually have about 1,000 people come face to face as well? Or was this even a bigger response?
It was much bigger. We typically have about 500 Indian educators. Wow. Yeah. So it was incredible.
Isn't and it was really good. I signed up and I popped in once or twice throughout the day, kind of when I had a couple minutes. And it seemed really good. I was glad I did it. So you guys did an awesome job.
Thank you.
Kelly, is there a way to participate after the fact? I mean, can you go back and watch things, or is it, nope, sorry, you missed it. You're done.
Nope. So they are being all captioned now. And so that all of the sessions will be posted. So you can watch them.
Awesome. For captions. Thank you, Kelly and Pattens, for leading the way with best practices.
Hey, I have a captioning story.
Sure.
So our school district, you know, we've had a big emphasis on captioning since, or we've always had it, but it, now more people than ever have been talking about it. And we were sort of suggesting to use the auto caption feature of YouTube. So you make your video. If you didn't make it with captions originally with Apple Clips or something else, then go put it in YouTube. It would do the auto captions. Then you go back and edit it. And that was, we were having some technical difficulties with that where we would get a black screen and it would just spin and it wouldn't work right. So we moved over to Microsoft Stream. I don't know if you've heard of Microsoft Stream or if your school district is a Microsoft district, but we have both in our districts. I think that's something that is kind of common, that there's a lot of places that might have both. But Stream is just another thing that you have through Office 365, and the auto captioning was sweet, and it was so much easier to edit than YouTube. At least, you know, I know that's a very subjective thing, but it's like, take your video, upload it, it auto does the captions, and it's side by side. You don't have to go it's just right there, where in YouTube you have to, you know, navigate a bunch of different ways to get to the subtitles, and so this was right there and you could edit it really simply. And so we're just starting to really dig into it, but it seems to be very promising. So I'm just curious if anyone has any other experience with that tool in particular, or if there's other tools you talk about with auto captioning, I'd love to hear them.
No, that sounds like an awesome tip.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi. Hi. We just, I actually just did my first, we started using Microsoft Teams, and I just did my, I'm doing this portfolio for, of course it's due, even despite all of this, like this promotion, teaching and excellence portfolio. And I'm like, why is this still due? And we're just trying to do all this. But I was making a video, and I was using that, and I just did it for the first time this past week, and it was really, it's really good. It's really easy, I guess, like, you know, and I'm still very, very new to it, but definitely check it out. It's really easy in Teams to just record, and then it just automatically uploads the video into streams. And it was really easy. I had to do some clipping of things, and it was easy to clip the video too. So it's definitely a tool to kind of look at, but I am definitely in my infancy of using it. So any tips from anybody who's done that, I'll take them.
Were you able to make clips within the video itself, or just the beginning and end?
You could cut it. I don't know. I didn't have to do multiple. I just did. Okay. I had one like 10-minute, and then I had to, you know, cut a little bit off at the beginning and the end.
Okay.
And so I didn't try to make multiple, but I was having, I don't know. I'm so new at doing this, and I was trying Screencastify and trying to do it there, and then loaded in, I don't even know, I'm probably going to show my real novice colors here. I was loading it in, oh gosh, was it VLC? I can't remember, the VLC client, it was doing that, and it was so, I probably worked 10 hours on this video, I'm not even kidding, and I thought, you know what, I feel like I have some skills in technology. Like, why is this taking me so long? But I think when you're learning something new like that, but the Microsoft Teams and using Teams with Stream and the captioning was so much easier. So just the fact that it, you know, was more streamlined. And I tried to take a course on it, but she didn't go very in-depth into it. So I'm looking for tips if you know anybody who's an expert on that, or
so
even I, has a I'm little bit of experience.
I'm definitely not an expert, but I just dropped in the chat box their like getting started portal for Stream. Has a lot of videos and, you know, ways to how you invite your coworkers, learning how to use it, kind of goes through the features of it. And it was very helpful because I did use it for a personal project. We're one of those Office plus Google districts too. And I did, it does have a learning curve, which I, like you, Lauren, I was like, how many hours am I going to spend doing this? But I'm like, nope, I'm learning a new tool while I'm trying to do it. So of course it's going to take twice as long. But going into their little help docs did help, because I was like, I can't figure out how to do this. And it was right in their little FAQ, how to do whatever I was trying to do.
If I may add to that, Flipgrid has support for automatic captions that you can edit. And my guess is that with any of these Microsoft tools, you're using the same engine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whether you're using Flipgrid or PowerPoint or Streamer, it's basically the same on the back end. So again, it's really improved because it's using artificial intelligence to clean up some of these captions. So something to check out. I played around with it last week just to play, you know, learn about it. And the Flipgrid captions are pretty good as well. If you go in and edit it, you'll find that it's not as bad as it used to be with automatic captions. They're getting a lot better.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, another challenge that we had was that we have teachers who have hearing impairment or who are deaf that need sign. And so with our students who are really young, they can't read the captions. So it's not accessible to them. So we've had multiple means here of representing by having the sign language interpreter on one screen in Teams, and then the teacher in the other, and then, you know, you can have multiple at the same time, and then also run the captions. So it's like hitting multiple areas, but people sometimes don't think about that. I mean, for us, it's more intuitive because that's our work, but I kept saying, well, a kindergartner can't read the captions. So while that's helpful and one way to be accessible, they really need the interpreter to be, you know, video streamed. But then the third graders maybe are starting to, or the fifth graders, maybe they're reading the captions, you know. So Teams was really nice to kind of, I don't know, like piece all this stuff together. So thank you for having these chats, because that's the kind of stuff that I feel like I'm so, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, okay, well, we gotta figure out a way to, you know, puzzle piece all this together. And so, so thank you, because I'm learning from all of you guys, so.
Well, that's nice. We're all learning from each other, which is great.
Yeah, Lauren, that's a perfect example of UDL and how you really persisted to come up with a way that did reach all your learners. Great positive story.
This is awesome.
Yeah, I like to ask Louise, you did Flipgrid on learning on the go. How did that turn out?
Pretty good. You know, it's a really nice option for learners to show their understanding, or you can use it in so many different ways. It could also just be a way to check in. You know, they can record a quick video of, you know, this is what I'm struggling with this week, or this is a question that I have. So really, it's just, you know, it's open-ended. And that's really what I look for in ed tech tools, is that they allow you to do whatever you want. You know, they don't prescribe a given path or a given use. So I'm always looking for tools like that, that you can adapt depending on whether it's representing information in a variety of ways or responding in a variety of ways. So definitely encourage using something like Flipgrid or whatever video tool it is as a reflection tool, because I think there's a lot of knowledge that we can capture from learners during this time that's not related to the academics, but it's related to their growth as people. You know, kind things that they've done for others during this difficult time, or challenges that they face within their family, how they solve that. That's knowledge. That's information. It's living history. And it's what I'm trying to emphasize to people. You know, other people had the Vietnam War, they had World War II. Our kids are going to have COVID-19 as a big event in their lives. And whatever ways we can capture that is important.
Well, and I think we've stressed from our end, so for teletherapy, we're doing teletherapy, OT, PT, and speech, and then a little bit of AT. We've used it as kind of a challenge to therapists to say, try to learn something about your student that you didn't know or that you wouldn't be able to know unless you were kind of working with them in this alternate setting. So we've used it as reinforcement. All right, we're going to do our therapy activities. And then if you want to show me your dog, go get your dog and bring them to the screen, or your favorite book or your favorite whatever that you have at home, your favorite toy. And I think it's opened up the opportunity so that now these therapists are getting a better insight into kind of who these kids are outside of school, that can only help the rapport and connection going forward next year and beyond.
Or even during the rest of their teletherapy this year. Yeah,
right. Sure. It's definitely, you know, we have a kid who is kind of obsessed with dogs, and you better believe that most of the therapy activities we do from now on will include a dog element. And we didn't really know that about this kid. We kind of knew they had a dog at home, but we didn't realize it was like all about dogs in their world.
So true. And that's awesome. Any other quick positives before we go to the one starter question we had?
Bruce is raising his finger.
Is he really? He's off my screen, so I don't see him.
Oh, here I am. Hi there.
Go ahead.
I'm sure many of you folks are already doing this, but I'm both a PT and an AT. And the problem I've had is trying to get information out to people because we're all so slammed. Mm-hmm. So I asked permission to become a co-teacher in as many Google Classrooms as I could. And then I'm just setting up topics and then assignments within each of those individual. So it's a tiny bit more work for me, but not a lot. And it makes the content available for the parents, like in the AT section, you know, how to use Read and Write or Voice Hearing Reader, and also for the kids, because I put in movement assignments to help them out as well. Simple, but just trying to work around a barrier.
Yeah, it's good, Bruce, too, because you're going to where they are as opposed to giving them one more place to have to go to. That's the thing I'm hearing from parents that I've spoken to, is they are, you know, at times frustrated with the number of places they have to go to find this information. And it sometimes feels disjointed. And I have one parent that I know, a personal friend, who's moving between Google Classrooms and Zoom meetings and Meets and all this other stuff. And they are dangerously close to just saying, nah, I'm good with all of it. I'm going to pass because it is so fragmented. So I think you're right, Bruce. It probably gave you more to do to set that up. But I think in the end, I think your students you're working with will be better served from that for sure.
I don't know what your experience is. I had a concussion. I do martial arts. You might see my background.
I see your dojo.
But I had a concussion in February last year. And one of the things I learned from that is how hard it is to learn a new skill when you're not functioning optimally. I ended up just using the stuff I already knew until I recovered, and everyone's stressed. Yeah. So the fewer demands we can make, the better.
Yeah, without a doubt. I don't know how many times in the past week I've said to somebody, you know, we're talking about doing some kind of work or something else, and you can sense the stress in their voice. And I've just said, nah, you know what, we'll do it next week. Don't worry about it. We'll get to it, or we'll look at it again another time. It's fine. So yeah, I think it's a good point. Chris, you still had a finger up?
Well, the last thing I would say is that I know some of you saw it. There was a video we put together for the Talking with Tech podcast about the augmentative communication users, which was just a pulling together of the community of making these little clips and then putting it all together in this one long video that was a little longer than I expected it to be, but it also shows how many people are involved in this community. And I just wanted to shout out to all the people that contributed their time and effort and showing all the different modalities that people communicate. I couldn't have been more pleased with how it turned out. So thank you, everybody.
It was super fun to be a part of. And I know it probably took you 15 times longer to edit than you thought it was going to, but.
Yeah, it was excellent to share. How much time did it take you to edit it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't keep track of it because that just gets me depressed.
No, but it is very cool. Chris, I'm going to share it with my college class. Next week is our AAC conversation.
Awesome. Well, and can I tell you one last thing there? It doesn't have to end with that video. I know there were some people like Lauren, I'm sorry, hurt. She sent one in and it got cut. It didn't. I was finishing up when I got hers. So there's room for more of these. You know what I mean? Or more creative endeavors like that, where this doesn't have to be, well, that was already done. I guess I'm not. No, just make another one. You know what I mean? It can be like a challenge or a trend, you know? So.
Is that a blooper reel, Christopher? I can send you one of those.
That would be funny.
That's awesome. All right, so as we go forward, I have one question, and it's funny, Karen and I had the same thought. Misty Rail, for people who know our friend Misty in Alaska, she put this out yesterday through Twitter, asking for ideas all about access to supports for students, and she's looking for ideas for rural districts that made the teachers and turn in their tech, and the students have no internet access in home. Looking for no tech and no Wi-Fi sped options for print disabled, paper packet alternative. All right, so there you go. You've been challenged.
Well, I would ask, why were they required to turn in their tech, and what did administration think would be the right alternative for the students and for the teachers? I mean, I would always go back, what was the thinking behind taking away an accessible option for students?
Yes, I agree. Was it just a panicked reaction to keeping inventory in track? Or was there some bigger, I don't know, but I agree. So beyond that idea, Karen, I felt you go in there as soon as you started talking. I said, oh, that's what Karen.
Why did they take it away?
Of course. Denying is awful. It's unethical.
Go ahead, Patty.
I'm sorry. And also, like, how do they communicate? People are at home. I mean, I can't even imagine if a teacher, they don't have technology. How are they getting information from their district and be able to report that? How are students connecting with teachers? A paper packet is just so limiting. And how are they getting those? How are they getting those out to kids?
Right, so many questions, yeah.
We've got a ton of super rural areas where we have classrooms where the teachers have only been able to make contact with 5 out of 18 students. Some of them have gone to stay with other family members. Some of them have a functioning home phone at home and only have a parent's phone for internet. We've US mailed a bunch of stuff. I've sent out core boards to a bunch of kids who I know had them in their classrooms. Whether or not we've made contact with the family or not, I put one in the mail and I just put a note on it that's like, hey, your kiddo was using this in the classroom. It might be helpful at home. So from a communication perspective, I think, you know, providing as close to the paper version of whatever they had in school, if they can't get the device itself, is the best option. From a work perspective, I mean, if you've got a kid who paper doesn't work for them and paper is the only option, that is a conundrum in my brain.
And just to provide a little bit of context, you know, Misty is in Alaska and very rural environment during the best of times.
Yeah.
Right.
So this just adds to that. I mean, she can tell you all kinds of stories about landing in some lake somewhere and staying overnight at a school. So it's a difficult situation even during the best of times to support these remote communities.
Yeah, it's so interesting to talk to Misty about that, where most of us get in our car to drive to schools, but Louise is right. She gets in a puddle hopper and she spends 3 days somewhere just to see as many kids as she can and then turns around and goes home. But what are some things that we could suggest
to
support those students?
Yeah, so I would suggest to continue to support literacy skills. Again, we always go back to captions. On their television, if they have a TV, just turn their captions on. I would definitely create word walls all over the house. So just to have exposure to those words, whether it's post-it note or scrap paper, definitely do that. Use manipulatives with rocks or, you know, just continue whatever you have around the house. So I've been working with some schools who, like, they'll tell me specifically what their packet looks like. Mm-hmm. And then if the student doesn't have any technology, it's like taking that packet and how can we use what we have at home to, you know, work in some capacity. The students it's not accessible in a way, so we can't do that for every single page, but it is just thinking about the environment, what they have access to. But I'm huge about, like, I'm preaching to the choir, is just turning on the captions on everything just to keep reading happening
and that's been done in a number of states where the PBS station has become sort of a centerpiece for education to address some equity issues. So that's another thing, is to look at what your PBS station is doing, because some of them have rearranged their programming to support, you know, more educational programming. And again, like you said, they can turn on the captions. The last thing I would say is for those manipulatives, use Skittles and candy. That's a motivational factor because you can eat them afterwards.
Yeah. It goes back to the activity at hand and what do we need to accomplish, and do a quick inventory of the house. And give them some suggestions of how they might do that.
And we've also done the same thing
about, like, if they have a CD player in the car. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds like, you know, super old school, but like burn a read aloud CD and you know, I mean, don't be afraid to like really go back. But the Alaskan people are really resilient by nature because of the environment that they live in. So, you know, ask about some of those things. And I would say empower the families to support them to, you know, keep literacy going, basically, until we can have further access. So just
To piggyback off of that, sorry to interrupt, I feel so bad. Is the power of storytelling. You know, it's the power of storytelling. It's like so underused. So if you're working, you don't have technology, but you go outside, just have your kids come in and say, instead of saying, oh yeah, I saw a bird in the tree, it could be like, I was walking outside and the sky was dark gray and I heard this sound from the distance. So it's like still trying to be creative, but everything should be more of a storytell. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of keep that rich creative language happening. We don't have technology, so it could just be all about storytelling. Even, you know, the parents going back and forth, you know, instead of saying, I want you to go outside and play, you can just make up some kind of a story to kind of set that creativity. I'm just thinking this right now, but think of, you know, just getting creative with even the approach to getting them outside to just try to see things differently, describe things differently. I think I used to, you know, when I was in the classroom, I used to work you know, with the student with who would really struggle with getting their words on paper or keyboarding. So I would just say, just pretend I can't see, you know, how would you describe so I can kind of have that same experience. So you could just start with a lot of storytelling, I think could be really beneficial.
All right, you're going to have to put a time limit on me, Mike, because I'm going to ramble here for a minute.
I got nothing but time. Go for it.
Well, I know Karen was trying to get out 45 minutes early, so.
No.
Kelly, when you talk about storytelling, what immediately jumped in my mind is I'm going to nerd out for a second and talk about Dungeons & Dragons. I know there's tons of kids that I've talked to.
Okay, Chris, we have to move on. Go ahead.
But who've said they've been motivated to read because of the topic they were reading about. They've already learned, I'm not a good reader, but wait a second, this science fiction book or this thing about dragons and knights, well, that got me into it. Or building a map and I'm labeling things on the map, well, that's totally different. And Dungeons & Dragons is a shared storytelling experience. It's a collaborative storytelling experience. So it's storytelling, but in a structured way where you're rolling dice and making up characters. And so I feel like that's one whole thing you could explore right now. Mm-hmm. Two other things. I loved your comment about the manipulatives. I think Legos are huge, and a lot of people have them in their classrooms or in their homes, not their classrooms. Mm-hmm. So you could label your different Legos with just pieces of paper. And so all the green ones are verbs and all the red ones are nouns. And, you know, yellows are pronouns. And now we can build sentences together. And then two last ideas would, I think many people might have chalk. And I know that's something that we've been doing in our neighborhoods is going around and writing messages to people on their driveway or on the street, you know. And so that would be a fun way, like leave a word and let's go and let's sound it out together. And let's draw it in our driveway. And then the last thing I was going to say about is this might be the time, back to Luis's point about how can you help? And let's get kids thinking about, let's not put more stress on the families. Let's just, what can I do? So reading for a very functional purpose is, all right, we're taking the groceries. What does it say on there? What kind of soup is this? Oh, it's the soup, it's tomato. Okay, let's put the tomato soup here. Like reading for a purpose that matters, not just reading because it's reading time and you have to go and sit for 15 minutes and do reading and do this stupid packet of things that you have to do just because it fills the time, you know? It can be very practical reasons to read.
Yeah, I love that, especially reading the cans in the grocery. That's such a great idea.
I think that's really cool.
Put them in alphabetical order, mm-hmm. or color, you know, in different colors, or put the hard object versus the soft or anything like that.
And we have a lot of students that the recommendation, our parents are saying, what could we do? I was like, follow a recipe, have them help you make lunch or dinner. Think about all the skills you're working on in that time. You're working on reading directions, you're working on math, you're working on, you know, being able to safety awareness that you don't, you know, stick your hand in the hot oven. So a lot of the people who've been asking, what can I do? Just have them help you make dinner. Maybe not all of it, but you gauge what is appropriate for your kiddo and have, you know, we have a couple of families where they have multiple kids and every night they made their own little spinner because they're just an amazing family where one night Billy's the reader and the next night, you know, Joe is the reader and they rotate through their little job during dinner time. One person's job is to set the table. They have to count out how many forks they would need. And, you know, like being able to build it into a routine that they're already doing, I think it's helpful. So it's not another thing we're adding.
Yeah.
I think that's the important point. You know, they're already doing these things. So then helping them see the connection to these are learning opportunities that you are already just naturally placing in your homes. So just validating what they're already doing instead of adding to the stress level like we've been talking about.
I was just about to say that, right? You're reducing the stress. You're not adding something else, but you're showing the value of what you're already doing as a family. And it has this kind of reciprocal other side to it.
And just sort of valuing incidental learning, mm-hmm. which is something we don't pay a lot of attention to. But as an English language learner, when I came to the United States, I had 3 months before I started school. And a lot of my learning of the English language was through public television. And just like Chris was saying, just reading things around the house, you know, and figuring out from listening to other people say them. So there's a lot of learning that can happen in sort of an incidental way And like you said, it's not something extra. You're just kind of paying attention to something, being more observant of the opportunities that are available in the environment for learning.
Yeah, and to go back to Lauren's idea, Lauren had such a great idea with the burning a CD if you could, which I thought was awesome. It made me look around my office to see if I actually have a CD player even, and I can't find one, which bums me out. But what I did think about is
my son pulled this out and he's like, "Mom, we have to make a CD." He just turned six. He is like into making like mixed CDs. I'm like, "Where did you even find this?" I don't know.
Scavenger hunt for everybody. Go find a computer with a CD drive.
Because I just cleaned out my basement over the weekend and I found a huge sleeve of what Lauren just showed, a giant sleeve of burnable CDs. And I even thought this other idea too. Are there MP3 players that we have that you could load things on and just ship it to somebody? They listen to it for a week and then you just kind of rotate it through other people.
Or a USB stick.
Or what?
Create it on a USB stick or a screencast and send that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, any of those things. And that might be a way to do a more of a high-tech approach, which mm-hmm. I think would be really cool. One of the other things I thought the low-tech side, which made me think of it when you guys were talking about making stories, I was doing some work in at one of the local ARCs, and we were talking about, we were working towards digital storytelling, and we decided to start with paper storytelling and just get the sense of how to build a story, and then we were going to do it on the computer using Book Creator. So we had like this whole plan, and in talking to the teacher, she said, "Oh, we do storytelling every week." And she said, "You know, it's tricky because no one here is a writer in our class. And we don't, there's not many readers. They're not very, very good as readers." And she says, "What I do is I bring in a bunch of magazines like Star and People and Us, and they cut pictures out of people and make them characters, and then they tell a story." So it was those magazines, glue, and a poster board, and that became their story. And then it transitioned to a digital story because we started recording them and they would cut and paste these pictures digitally into another tool, which was actually really fun. So just another use some stuff around the house.
We could even go back to, I'm going to age myself, but back in the day when you used to soap windows. So, I mean, so think about getting like a bar of soap. You can use the windows and put like words of the day or anywhere by using soap or something like that.
Yeah, that's so true. Any of those things we have. Yeah, there's so much around. If we just take a second and look, and it goes back to what? It goes back to that idea of what is the task we need to accomplish? Don't get hung up on, I don't have my Chromebook anymore, but focus back to what is it I need to do? All right, now what do I have? And let's talk about it. So I think it's a really
good one. And you know what? For some kids, it may be good in some cases that they don't have a screen and that we can take the time to focus on some mindfulness and, you know, some different skills that need to be mastered as well. I mean, obviously, I'm a big, in favor of having access to the technology for accessibility reasons. But it's also important to emphasize that it's okay to take time to slow down a little bit and, I don't know, all the expressions, you know, smell the roses, take a breath of fresh air, whatever it is. But these are important skills that we need to build in kids as well, that will make them more resilient to whatever crisis comes next.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I just put a link to the public access TV in Virginia that is going to start today with content for different grade levels and different courses.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, and that's really interesting. We just started that in New Jersey last week, and it was really interesting to watch. And it really had some value, and I thought it was really well done. It had kind of a do-it-yourself, living in your basement kind of look at times, but I think that was part of the fun, actually. But it was really good information from really dedicated educators who wanted to get something across, and I thought that was really powerful. So thank you guys for sharing all that. What else? Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
So I was going to suggest that television is something I've recommended a lot over the years because it is something everybody has, and it gets frowned upon, like, TV, right? But I think it's more about, like, you've ever seen that book, Eat This, Not That, you know, and it compares two hamburgers, and if you're going to eat a hamburger, eat this hamburger rather than this hamburger. And I feel like that's how television can be consumed. It's like, well, yeah, if you have a student that has reading difficulties, then maybe you watch Word Girl as opposed to, I don't know, Phineas and Ferb, which has more of a science bent. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And maybe you can just lean people in directions as far as watching them together. And because it's television, and many people, I would imagine, in Alaska or wherever, can pause the DVR or they're watching the DVR together, is that you don't have to be like, okay, it's 30 minutes of now watching TV. It can be a few minutes. Let's stop and talk about it for a second, ask a question. Hey, what are you watching? What is that? And talk, and then start it up again and break it up into chunks. But I feel like it's such an underused tool that's just always there, and it's always categorized as something bad. But it's not something bad. It's something that we can just use. It's just another tool.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. And it's also a point to remember that many, many people have smart TVs that have some internet capability. Not everybody, but maybe they do. And maybe that's a way to connect with some content as well.
And then the other thing, so go ahead, Kelly.
No, please go ahead.
Well, I was just going to jump in about with what Lauren was sharing about the burning the things, the burning stuff to CDs, and you were saying that, Mike, too. So I put a little old. There used to be this tool called Vine, and you could still find the videos online. And so I, once upon a time, I made this video with my daughter where she got the birthday pencil. You know, you'll come to the office, you get this pencil, and yeah, what is this awesome pencil? And then you go home, and it gets thrown in the drawer with all the other junk. Right, every family has some sort of junk drawer. But those CDs, burning audio CDs, would be such a more, like, that's a message of literacy, because I think what she said, and I think you're spot on, many people, where their CD player is, Mike, is in their car, right? Yeah. So that's a shared time where let's listen to these stories together.
It's so true.
Yeah, I was just going to give you a job, Chris. I think it would be, wouldn't it be interesting, like, we're talking this whole time about how remote learning should look like. It would be, if we could get the perspective of the students, so a podcast could be like, you know, this student says, like, I wish remote learning looked like this, or I wish I had this, or I wish the teachers knew this, or some kind of perspective from the students would be really powerful. Just for, you know, something to think about in your spare time.
Yeah. And have them respond. That would be cool.
Exactly.
I was gonna say, you seem to have a captive audience right here of people who might have kids. I mean, I could offer up my dog, but she doesn't really have much to offer on the topic. But, you know, you might have some friendly people in this group who might be willing to, you know, put their kids on a call with you to ask, you know, what do you like about it so far? What do you wish were different?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think kids are probably way more, I know, not probably, they are way more insightful than we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
About not only what works for them personally, but like just what's good and what's effective and what's garbage and not worth their time.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And they're not afraid to tell you.
Yeah. Exactly.
So Chris, we just gave you a task between 7 and 7:15, which is your free time. You can do this. Also, I don't know, Mike, how you're going to get the information to Misty, but I did a little research while we were speaking and posted the Alaska Parent and Education Resources from Alaska Public Media. So that would be something for her to check out, since we've been sort of promoting, which I love, promoting public television. It's one of our greatest gifts in the United States. And what a better time to reconnect with it and take advantage of it. Yeah. And also, you underestimate my dog. You don't know what he's capable of. So,
I just know mine, who's happy to snooze and catch lizards, and that's not really educationally relevant right now, I don't think.
I agree. I feel like my dog's got nothing to add to the process.
What do you have to add? Come here.
So I have another question too. Yeah. This is something. Is it okay to change the subject?
Yes, because we're looking at Alyssa's dog. But yeah.
Well, one second. You're going to commit to that, right, Chris? We'll all send you like some audio of kids, and you're going to ask for kids to send you audio.
I think I could totally do that, Kelly.
You know what I would love to see is have some of the high school students take on that project in your local community. Like, what's working for you? What isn't? How can we improve? Yeah, I think that's a great idea. We can give it to Chris, but wouldn't it be great in every community if we allowed our students, or we just encouraged our students to do that?
Yeah, so just give us one question. Just give us one question, and then I'll push that out to students that, and maybe they can just send us recording and we'll just send them to you.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
Sounds good.
I think it's really of high value because when we look at, like, as researchers, we're always talking about, like, social validity. And if we don't have that piece on that check-in with, like, the kids, like, what's working for them? I mean, they're really our biggest customer, right? Or they're mm-hmm. our consumer. Yes. So I love that. I think that would be great. And on a side note, I think my son would probably say something about, like, being able to stay in pajamas until 3 p.m. And I'm like, well, I think a lot of adults probably would say the same thing. So,
yeah. Yeah, we're validating student voice, which is right. so important because exactly. student voice is not being heard right now.
Exactly.
We're being telling kids all the things that they can't do. And all the seniors right now that can't connect with their friends, and it's just such a challenging time for them.
Hey, Chris, so, maybe that's an opportunity to toss it up in a Flipgrid and let people respond that way. And then you don't have to worry about collecting things. Maybe you can just have access to them. Like, you notice how we're giving you lots of ideas of how you can just do this, and...
But yeah. why can't we all do it, too?
Oh, because we just assigned it to Chris, that's why. I mean, I think that's a pretty easy answer. Chris, okay. we're so glad you're here today, by the way.
I love the idea of the Flipgrid. It really gives people a lot of agency, right? And also it makes it more authentic. This is not like an edited thing. This is your voice in whatever way you want to present it.
Yeah.
I think it's really easily accessible too, you know, like kids can just do it. They can do it on multiple platforms, like on their phone, on the iPad, on, you know, on the computer. It's so easy. And so I think it'll be more authentic that way.
Well, and I just know I've got an AAC user who has kind of been dabbling. He's a programmer and he does code.org and all kinds of other things, but he's been kind of dabbling in using Flipgrid to do things for his class. And I know that because I know it's accessible for him, I know we could get some student voice that is AAC user voice and not just the non-AAC user population.
Yeah, and
if that makes any sense.
Some teachers using Flipgrid not as a way to get content back from their students, but just as this kind of check-in, which I think is perfect. That's a great use for this.
Well, and when our teachers got some freedom limitedly to use Zoom, they kind of made that decision. We don't want it to just be social. We want to have an outlet for the kids for social elsewhere, but use the content for the content time. So it made it possible for them to still have those kids have those social connections without taking away from what was supposed to be instructional time.
I think what I just had a brainstorm when Kelly wrote something about a Google Drive folder. Why not create this Flipgrid and drop it in that AT chat website?
I think that's an excellent idea. I can absolutely embed that in the AT website when Chris sets it up.
Chris, I tried. I tried to get you out of it.
I can do part of it at least.
And when Chris creates the Google folder, I'm happy to know where to upload audio responses as well.
Aren't you glad you came today, Chris?
Chris's free time is now down from 7 to 7:05.
Exactly.
That's right.
My goal is to get him down to 7:03 before he just hangs up in disgust.
How am I ever going to find out what happened to the Tiger King if I have to do this kind of stuff?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Oh, anything else? Should we give Chris any other work?
Yeah. Well, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So this is changing the subject, but I keep getting questions from therapists asking, you know, and their districts are using Seesaw, some of them are, but they are asking, how can I set up an environment where students don't see who else is receiving the intervention? And so I have been suggesting to them to use Seesaw with different classrooms, and they could also do, you know, just have every student be a different classroom. I think you could also do that with Google Classroom, but I'm wondering how other people are handling that for their OTs, PTs, and SLPs.
So we aren't using Seesaw, but I know a district near us is. And what they did was they had the kids make up a code name for themselves. They picked a favorite, actually this teacher did pick a favorite book character, and that's who they were in it. And they kind of created their own little persona in it that wasn't tied to their name. So that kind of just takes away some of the confidentiality issues. And we had parents, they had parents agree to, yes, we know we're going to use this. And yes, they're going to be, you know, I don't know, Beverly Cleary or, you know, whatever book character or author they wanted to be. And that's how they got around it. For stuff like Google Classroom, if the therapists are setting up a Google Classroom, we're having them do a Google Classroom per student. And I'm encouraging them not to do Google Classroom, because unless you've got, they've got a couple kids for which it makes sense that they're doing some really intensive therapy work, and let's make a Google Classroom just for that student. And because you can kind of duplicate Google Classrooms, if they have kids that have similar needs, they don't have to do the work twice to set it up. But I think being able to use a tool like that and maintain confidentiality is definitely a struggle, I know, down here for therapists.
Okay.
I don't think that was helpful at all, but
Sarah also says that students can turn off that feature of students can see each other's work, which is a really good option as well.
Yeah.
So that's helpful. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't use Seesaw a whole lot. I feel like I can't offer a whole lot of thoughts there.
Oh, can't recommend it enough for you, DL.
I know. You say that to me every time, and I just still don't use it for some reason. Sorry.
It taps into, I post in the chat, it taps into multiple methods of presentation, engagement, and expression. It's really a very powerful tool. And especially in this time for remote learning, you know, talk about alternative ways to engage kids and alternative ways for them to demonstrate what they know. So powerful. Because it has that audio feature, the video feature, they can draw within it, they can record themselves responding to things. It's just very powerful.
Agreed. I'm gonna use it this afternoon.
We'll do a lesson.
All right, sweet, that's good. Okay, excellent. Anybody else? Thoughts on Karen and Seesaw?
Or any other thoughts about favorite, absolute favorite tools that you want to make sure that all of your colleagues know about during this time of remote learning? I love hearing from other people.
I would say similar to Seesaw, Book Creator has always been one of my favorites, just because it's the blank page can be a challenge for some learners, but it's also very freeing in the sense that you can add audio, you can add video. So it really supports, you know, the multiple means of representation. I've done visual schedules in Book Creator. I've done social stories in Book Creator. So it's whatever you make it. I mean, you start with a blank page, so it's up to you what you create with it. But again, understand that for some learners, that blank page can also be a challenge. So there might be times when you need to put in a prompt or sentence starter, or in some way kind of guide them into what it is that you want them to produce.
Yeah, Book Creator just put out a really nice activity starter book through their website, which is really cool. So exactly what Luis just said, it's structured and gives them spaces to drop in different pieces that they can explore kind of the features of how Book Creator works. It was meant to be kind of like a digital, almost like a coloring / activity book, but it does do a nice job of giving you a sense of what you can do in Book Creator, because it asks you to drop in drawings and pictures and audio and doing different kinds of things. So it's really very cool. And
it's accessible too.
And it's accessible, yeah.
And they've also just added, they've made collaboration free through the rest of the school year. So a teacher can have students collaborate together, or, you know, put out a prompt or something, and then students can respond to that. All students can, which is, you know, again, it's a premium feature, but they've made it free for the rest of the school year. Yeah, those are my three favorites: Book Creator, Seesaw, and Flipgrid. I do PD about those three all the time. That's why I'm wondering if anyone else has some other resources that they recommend as well.
Well, for a therapist, we're not using Zoom for therapy, and one of the big things that they've kind of been saying, could we please have access to, was just a whiteboard or interactive. So we've been having them use Jamboard, which is part of the G Suite tools. But gives them a whiteboard. So they're either using Jamboard or they're doing what they would do if they were sitting right with a kid and just having them use a collaborative Google Doc, have them be in it, have us be in it, just like we would do in live therapy, sitting in across from them or with them. So using the interactive whiteboard maybe to do the brainstorming and then going into Google Docs to do that kind of shared writing where somebody can be commenting or support.
That's awesome. And don't forget your tools like Google Slides and Google Drawings. You can do the same thing. You could be in it at the same time, but you can drop in a bunch of different pieces as well.
Yeah, and I saw Sarah did comment. I've been using Screencastify too to do a ton of tutorial videos for staff. And they are giving their free premium until at least the end of May. And then she put the code in there. If you need to be able to do Screencastify and want some of their advanced features, it's super easy for me to be able to do that. It saves it right to your Google Drive and copies the link so I can go drop it in an email and say, here's exactly where you need to go to do this. And you know, sometimes being able to just show them instead of writing out the verbiage in an email is so much more powerful. And I've done it with a couple students too. Sent them, here's how you log in to your Snap and Read at home. Here's, you know, what you need to do. Here's a quick review of the toolbars. And they've been able to get up and going and use it, whereas normally I would have to kind of come to them and show them. So it's made it a lot easier. So I love Screencastify too, Sarah.
Agreed. I feel like Chris was going to talk because he turned his mic off. He's been nodding very efficiently, and I'm waiting.
Well, what I was going to say is, I know just to, in reference to tools in general, what we've been telling teachers is to use what you got, meaning look through what your school district already has. Right. There's probably tools that you're not familiar with that already approved and not can be used. And if not, then that's your time to say, well, I want this tool approved. But so often I find that there's a litany of stuff that teachers just didn't even know we had. I didn't even know that existed. I didn't know that. No, not I don't mean out in the world. I mean, has been vetted by other educators in our school district. We have it available. We like this tool. Okay, what do you want the tool to do? And can we use a tool that already exists in our sort of catalog? And if it doesn't, if they don't, well, now you have to go out and advocate for a new tool. But to use what you already have, because likely there's teachers in your network, meaning your school district, that, oh, I use that. Yeah, let's put you in contact with how you use it and do those, just what you were saying, Alyssa, like maybe there's already a tutorial video or they at least it's someone they can coach you through it or discuss it.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, now's not the time to go learn 100 other tools if you're still not comfortable using the ones you have. Look for those and get the features from those that you need. So true. That was good, Chris. And you didn't get any extra work from that too.
Not yet. I better go before.
All right. We got 2 minutes and I do want to respect people's time. Last statements before we go. What do you guys think? Every week still? Should we keep doing this every Monday?
Yes, please.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Just looking for some validation.
Things are still changing so quickly that maybe new challenges that pop up that we're not aware of. So I think it's important to continue the conversations.
And Good. You're getting lots of yeses in the chat box too. I don't know Good. If you can see the chat box at the same time, Mike. But
I do. I have all kinds of boxes open on the screen right now. Yes.
I think you, just being able to problem solve and come away with, like, even if it's just a reminder, use what you've got. Sometimes I think that's super powerful for us as AT people too.
Yeah, I agree. It Mike, is nice to chat. Yeah, go ahead.
Everyone's encouraged to come on and talk, right? Like, of course. So I know I see Cheryl, I know Sarah's shared a bunch of good stuff. A bunch of people are Marby. Feel free to come on and talk, right?
Yes, without a doubt. Yeah, sure, please. We're game.
Cute kids into your lap, Lauren. I like to see cute kids.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yep, here's one of them, and here's one of our distance learners right here.
Nice. Here. So. Enjoying some lollipops, I see.
Yes. Well, we're potty training, and so, you know, we have to use bribery.
Reinforcement. That's right. Not bribery, reinforcement.
I don't care what you call it.
Next week's topic, Mike.
This is what really happens. I got kicked out of the office because my husband has a call. So this is what happens when you got learners at home.
That's great. Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go, guys. We did it. Great. 1 o'clock. Last words?
Awesome.
Hang in there. Keep doing it. Do the next right thing. Don't stress about the other 50 things on your list. Do the next right thing.
There it is. I'm pointing at you. There you are. Good job.
Gotta keep up my reputation with Kelly.
Well done.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thanks. It was good talking, everybody.
Okay. See y'all.
All right, we'll see ya.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. Do you have an idea for a future episode? Leave an audio message via SpeakPipe at speakpipe.com/ITS podcast. With your suggestion. It may appear on an upcoming episode. To stay current on all things inclusive and assistive technology, follow Mike on Twitter at MMATP and visit his website at MMATP.com for inclusive technology resources and all the previous podcast episodes.